The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, February the 3rd, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled The 66th Anniversary of the Day the Music Died, which of course refers to the tragic plane crash which killed Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, the Big Bopper, and the pilot. Okay, so the time is 10:49 a.m. here in the UK, now 10:50, making it 5:50 a.m. on the east coast of America and 2:50 a.m. on the west coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. I generally have a shower, not generally, I always have a shower every day, and I wash my hair and my, you know, whatever you do in the shower. But unfortunately, I've had no hot water for this morning and yesterday morning. So I haven't had a shower since Saturday, which is awful. So I probably smell. But I did actually go out yesterday. I have a friend I meet up with once a year. I last saw him in April last year. It's the only time I drink alcohol out. Okay, so i.e. in a pub. I do go to pubs generally at least once a week, but just for food. So I met up with him, and it's amazing what you pay for. I always drink the weakest lager. Like at home, I drink Carlsberg. And the two pubs we went to, their weakest lager was Foster's. And I had three pints in. I met him at 2, and I left after 5. So what's that, about a pint an hour? And I felt a little bit. Bear in mind, I drink more than that at home. I actually felt a little bit sort of lightheaded on 3 pints of Foster's, which is, what, 3.8%, 4%, something like that. So it was a bit odd, but I had a nice time. I wasn't drunk or anything, but I just thought, you know, someone said to me before that when you drink out of a can, if you drunk the same volume, same amount, out of a pub, and it was the same lager, for some reason, it has a far greater effect on you. So, I mean, that suits me, because I don't remember the last time I was actually drunk, although I do drink plenty in an afternoon to early evening when I go to bed, but it's just Carlsberg. And there was a time last year, I think I thought I'd have a few more cans. I had to stay up for something. I was working on something, and it just made me feel tired. I didn't feel any sort of, you know, urge to party or anything like that. Just was sending me to sleep. Okay, so a bit of a pointless topic there. Let's move on to what I have downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. I went over to the Victor Hugo BitChute channel, and he's got two recent shows up that are full shows by the looks of it. I've not heard either of them, apart from the start. And on both of them, he introduces them with the date, which was yesterday, February the 2nd, 2025. So I've got them queued up. We'll see if they're any good to listen to later in the day. But the other thing I downloaded that I've already been listening to is the Incendiary Radio show by Robert Ravolt, which you can get from republicbroadcastingarchives.org. And it actually had a couple of my friends on there, Frederick C. Blackburn, Blackburn 9, and Patrick Chenal. Where's my phone? Let me have a look. I might already be into the second hour. Certainly in the, yeah, well into the second hour, 17 minutes in. The first hour they were talking about the state of free speech in the UK, people like Graham Hart, Alison Chablot, how one of Frederick C. Blackburn's shows fitted into that Graham Hart trial, and even when he tried to speak to his solicitor, he was ignored, etc., etc. I'm talking about Frederick C. Blackburn now, because he was very annoyed that one of his shows was being entered into the courts in the UK, and nobody seemed to want to talk to him about it. But anyway, very interesting show thus far. And one other thing that Patrick mentioned on the Paul English live show this week, he's part of the regular panel on there, is that it was him who introduced me to Bishop Williamson, Bishop Richard Williamson, who sadly passed away last week. And I know that's true, you know, because I don't doubt Patrick, but unless he'd have said it, I wouldn't remember. So it just gives you an idea of how my memory is not that good and things like that. We'll get into that a little bit later, Bishop Richard Williamson again. But so that was interesting to hear. Another thing that just makes me realise my memory has never been that good. For example, the articles that we're going to go through, if I had looked at them 3 or 4 days ago, I wouldn't remember them. So I got them from Saturday and yesterday. And I had to look at the Saturday ones again to have an idea of what I'm going to be talking about when we get into that section of the show, which is what? It's now, isn't it? To see how the news has been developing, not since yesterday's show, but since the Saturday show. So the articles, let's start off with, where are we? These are all Daily Mail headlines. Gynecologist is suspended for refusing to treat a trans patient and saying he is only qualified to deal with real women. And this actually took place in France. Okay, so let's move on to Lord Mandelson was still in touch with Jeffrey Epstein in 2012, emails show. Lord Mandelson was still in touch with Jeffrey Epstein in 2012, emails show. So there you go. We had one about Prince Andrew as well, didn't we, on that? And now I saw this headline, and immediately as I saw it, I thought, I wonder if the attraction I want to complain about is listed. Headline: the major attractions around the world where tourists pay more than local residents. Do you think it's fair? Now, I went to a place in Sri Lanka called Sigiriya, which is some sort of monastery on top of a hill, I believe. And Sigiriya Rock, here it is. So it's in the article. And when I went, which is probably about 20 years ago now, the locals were getting for free, but we had to pay a lot to get in. It says here it was about £25 then, and it's £28 now. And it says locals are charged 33 pence, okay? Well, back then, I thought they were charged nothing. Now, from my point of view, I think that, attractions such as this, I think that the tourists should have to pay and the locals should get in for free or cheaper because, you know, it's that country's heritage. It should be their property, that sort of thing. So, you know, they should pay less or go in for free rather than the tourists. So that wasn't my issue. My issue was that we had this guy following us around trying to talk. And I said, look, because I know what this is. This is some scumbag trying to charge us to be a guide. I said, go away. I'm not interested. Go away. All right. I made it quite clear. Wouldn't go away. So ruined our trip there. And then I went to he started coming up to us after trying to demand money. And I told him to go away. And they just weren't interested, the people on the officials there. You know, so if you are going to start charging tourists, at least treat them with respect and don't let some of your locals go and hassle them. And when it's made clear they don't want their services, they should step in and deal with it. But they just, you know, couldn't care less. So there you go. That was my trip there. And I you know, never been to Sri Lanka before, and I have absolutely no interest in going back to Sri Lanka again. Another thing that they do over there is that when they say do a bit of chicken for you, they don't cut it like they do in normally, shall we say, at risk of being called racist. And the reason I say that is they'll get a hatchet and they'll just go straight through it. So you're eating and you're gobbing out bones because they're all not cut round the bone or anything like that, which is how it's generally done. It's amazing how things went on in that country. And there you go. So anyway, let's move on to Ukraine's front could collapse in months, the UK's warned. As senior leadership figures in war-torn country urge Britain to increase military support or face nightmarish scenario. Well, one of the people that's pushing this is Ian Duncan Smith, that creepy Tory guy who was leader for a while. But sounds ominous. This isn't a clickbait show, as you know, folks. I'll try and expose clickbait on here, not serve it up. It doesn't seem to indicate conscription, you know, forced military service. It seems to be more to pushing us to put more money into it, stuff like that. But you never know how these things are going to develop. More and more people are talking about the Deagle thing and different ways that this could come about. I think the recent Richie from Boston video even had the Deagle.com reference in the title. And you can go to Richie from Boston's BitChute channel to find that. So nothing glaringly came out of this article, but at the same time, it could be one of those stepping stones articles to prepare us for something they've got lined up down the road. Okay, so the final one I've got is the Crown star Claire Foy goes electric 10 months after her car was destroyed in hit and run nightmare. So for me, that headline sounds like another promotion of electric vehicles. It wouldn't work on me, whoever it was, but I haven't heard of Claire Foy. So, well, she's apparently star of The Crown, which is something that I would, you know, never want to watch anyway. I detest the royal family, and any idea of watching some film about them would be of no interest to me whatsoever. There were a couple of decent royals in the past, but my democratic right to free speech prevents me from talking about them. Okay, so let's move on to see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. And I haven't had a look at any of these today, so if there's been any big news, you're going to hear my actual shock. Well, there isn't. APnews.com. Trump kept his pledge on tariffs. Is he ready for the fallout? Are Americans? Here's what to know. So that is the top story on AP, let's move on to see what the most popular 10 stories are on the BBC News website. Well, the first one I can say is again about the US tariffs. And apparently they are going to happen on the EU. But apparently a UK deal could be worked out. So you have to think to yourself about, they never let things go through that they don't like. So maybe there was a reason that the people in charge wanted Britain out of the EU. There was some, they wanted some presence in Europe, a major one that wasn't governed by EU law. Although, I think I mentioned on a recent, there was a recent article that some guy was allowed to stay in this country due to a ruling by the European Court of Human Rights, which, if we've left the EU, shouldn't apply to the UK anymore, should it? But there you go. They pick and choose what they go along with. It's always what's best for them, not what we voted for. Okay, so the apparently Beyonce has won the best album, and it says finally wins best album at the Grammy Awards, which presumably took place last night. And then Bill Gates, we've given away $100 billion, but my children won't be poor when I'm gone. Imagine my shock. And you've got more articles, you know, pictures from the Grammys, etc. That's obviously something that they always focus on. Never really had interest for me. Well, sometimes I look at some of the Oscar stuff, but most of the people, again, I've not heard of. So there you go. Keir Starmer, first UK Prime Minister to join European Union meeting since Brexit. So I wonder where that's going. And then we've got France prepares for trial of surgeon accused of abusing anaesthetised children. I've not heard anything about that. But I did hear about Canadian fans booing the US anthem as tariffs spur buy local pledge. And I think that that was something Justin Trudeau, old Lucky Pierre, put out. I saw that somewhere else. He was urging people to buy Canadian. Okay, what Canadian actually is these days is, you know, up for debate, but that's not an area that we can really get into on this show. So let's see what's going. Well, to finish off that bit with the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there. Kanye's creepy commands to Bianca Censori during indecent exposure stunt at Grammys as fears grow over his campaign to turn her into a radicalized Kim Kardashian. Well, again, this guy is an absolute weirdo. I mean, he likes to parade his wife virtually naked in public. It's, you know, really quite, you know, distasteful, shall we say. And there you go. So, fortunately, it looks like he made her take her coat off wearing next to nothing on the red carpet, and fortunately the Daily Mail appears to have grained those images out. So let's move on to see what's going on in the independent media. I don't call this independent, it's rt.com, but I report on it because it's very difficult to bring up in the UK. So anyway, Ukraine has lost ex-Zelensky advisor. This is a guy called, I'll give the name a go, Alexei Arestovich. I think I might have actually pronounced that right. That's how it's spelled. Anyway, US aid run by a bunch of radical lunatics. That's according to Donald Trump. And transgender references removed from US State Department advisory page. Okay. Right, let's move on to rents.com. And I hope it's still there. It is still there. That's good. At the top, I saw this a couple of days ago, and I thought this is going to be great to read out on the show. And this is signed Jeff Rents, February the 1st, 2025. So this is what it says. It's at the very top of rents.com when you open the page. The Rents deportation plan. Why do we have to pay for their removal? Why do we have to chase them down, feed them, and pay to transport or fly them home? Here is how they should be made to deport themselves. Have President Trump issue a national announcement that all illegals and invaders will have 30 days to self-deport back across the border. They can take their trucks, cars, phones, toys, and drive to an official border crossing where they will each be given $1,000 in cash and a tank of gas to drive themselves home. However, if they choose not to leave within that 30-day period, they will be arrested when caught and will be immediately sentenced to 2 years in a labour camp, working 6 days a week to rebuild and restore America's land and our infrastructure to help MAGA. That's it. They can choose self-deportation or they can choose 2 years of national service in labour camps. The cost of deporting them and flying them home is far higher than ordering them to get out like this. Self-deportation is the only sensible way to make this work. Let them do the work. It's time for them to go home. And if they are stupid enough to come back and invade again, they will do 4 years in a labour camp working to clean up and rebuild America. Call your US representative and senators and demand this program begin. Well, this makes a lot more sense than what they're doing, okay? Which, again, makes you wonder if this is all just a bluster, what they are doing, because in the end, if you were to issue something, if you said, right, you've got a certain amount of time to get out, otherwise this is going to happen to you, you'd get rid of so many more people than they are doing these knocking on the doors and costing probably tens of thousands per person. And if, whilst I like Jeff Rents, he's a broadcaster, Jeff Rents is not a politician, okay? So are we led to believe that there's no one of these so-called top political people with years in politics that would think this up themselves, that could have mentioned to Donald Trump? Or Donald Trump himself, he's the one that went through all the problems of the wall and all that. Did he not come up with this himself? How come no one in the Trump team came up with something as simple as this that's going to be so much more effective than what they're doing? Well, because, again, It's like we were told with these things that Conservatives were talking about immigration. Oh, we'll have this Rwanda plan. Oh, it's all about the boats. No, it's not about the boats in the UK. With the boats, we've had about 20,000 people come in 6 months, whereas officially we've had 906,000 in 2023. So what do you think is the bigger problem? The boats or the legal immigration? Okay, and that's why you hear Trump always talking about, oh, the legal immigration's fine, because the Kutenhove-Kalergi plan, don't expect that that's going to stop until it has achieved the aim it was designed to do. And I think that this is why Jeff Rentz's plan, although I think would be a lot better than what they're doing now, will not be implemented. Okay, let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. See what's going on over there. Crypto markets being hit hard. That is the top story. I've never got into crypto even. Some of you have been in touch to say, look at that sort of stuff. It's just something else for me to worry about and learn about. And I have looked at it, but you can't. It just is a lot of faffing, all right, to set things up. And it's not as simple as it sounds. It really is quite odd. And then you get some of these places because you have to have a wallet and stuff like that. And I know that there were some people who suddenly had their wallets taken away because people didn't like what they were saying and the company were told to take it away. And of course, they could get away with it and not give them any of their money and stuff like that. Don't want to go there. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's move on to earthnewspaper.com. Mark R. Else's website. And I haven't thanked Mark and Jeff Rentz for a while for their support of this show. Mark mentions this show and has links to my website on his site, and Jeff Rentz broadcasts the show and I believe 6 p.m. Eastern time. I've never been up to actually listen to that. The other night, actually, coming up to my birthday, I should have thought of that then, shouldn't I? Because I was awake coming up to 12 o'clock. I could have quickly stuck the computer on and stuck the headphones on and hear if my show was playing. But that's what I was told, and I'm still up on rentsradio.com. And I also occupy prime position here on earthnewspaper.com. The archive interview I did with Bishop Richard Williamson, entitled God Is Not Mocked. It's a 1 hour, 3 minute, 10 second audio. Mark has kindly uploaded to Rumble. And what I can tell you about that interview is I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember afterwards Bishop Williamson was really happy with it. And I listened to it again before I put it up, and I was happy with it too. What I can say is I'm not going to try and teach people how to interview, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. Okay, I'm known for, when I do interviews, I don't tend to interrupt. But that depends on the quality of the guest. If you're just going to let a guest talk and they become boring, then you really have to interrupt. Some people interrupt because they call it a conversational show, not a not an interview show. And to be honest, when I was out with my friend yesterday, I'm trying to tell him stuff, and he has that thing as well. He'll keep jumping in, and I'm just like, I didn't say anything, do you know what I mean? But I'm like, dude, I am going to stop. Just let me tell you. You just jumped in with something I was about to say. All right, so if you just let me finish. But, you know, he's the only person that I see each year, so I don't want to cut that down to zero, do I? But if you listen to the show, I think that he was very interesting on what he talked about throughout the show. But there was bits where it was very difficult. There's one point you'll hear me come in because sometimes he took long pauses. As I always say, a second is a long time in radio. So you hear, and I just go to say something, and then he starts talking again, so I stopped and let him continue. I think probably what it was that he felt, maybe a lot of shows where people do keep sort of, you know, coming in. Because you have to think to yourself that what Bishop Williamson is probably most used to when he's speaking is going to be from, you know, the front of a church. And you don't have people butting in then. People are sitting there listening to him. And so that's my only feeling that could be why he liked the show so much. Because we did try to do it again, but he had an assistant whose day off, and the assistant needed to be around to sort out all the, you know, computer and stuff like that. His day off was the day I went to my mother's. And that was a Thursday, because I actually changed it to a Wednesday. And, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because I haven't been doing interview shows apart from with Dr. Peter Hammond since. But, yeah, it's a good show, one that he liked, one that I've listened to again. And I think if there's any better shows with Bishop Richard Williamson, then please email me the link to andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com. Because if they're better than this one, I would like to hear them, because he is a very good speaker and a very interesting one. Okay, so let's move on to censored.news. This is the Mike Adams news aggregate website. And there's not really a lot new I can see at the top here. Let's scroll down again. I have started looking at the expose, and they, let's just say, I'm always criticising things when there's pop-up stuff like that, but on censored.news, the one thing, if I go beyond the hand-picked news headlines at the top, I always scroll down on the left-hand side to the expose, because they do have some interesting information on there. And they are out of the UK, and there are very few websites. We were using the truthseeker.co.uk. It is a website worth using, but the problem is they have their most recent headlines in a slider at the top, and they don't replicate them in the most recent headlines below for like 24 hours. So for a show like this, when I'm going in and trying to get the most up-to-date headlines for you, I can't wait for a slider to go across. I need them listed, and that's why I think that is a good website, but it's just not suitable for doing a show such as this. So let's move on to, finally, our Before It's News Top 10. Okay, so let's timestamp it. This is the Before It's News Top 10 as of 11:15 a.m. this Monday, February the 3rd, 2025, and that is UK time. Okay, let's see what is going on. Scroll down. Number 10. Went up 2 days ago, 108 people viewing. Bo Polney, get ready for shock event incoming. Millions dead in April. Number 9, went up 8 hours ago rather, 110 people viewing. David Nino and Ghost, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum defies Trump. Number 8, went up 10 hours ago, 121 people viewing. Urgent update for the unvaxxed. Light workers, this is huge. Fifth dimensional update. Number 7, went up 17 hours ago, 126 people viewing. SG Anon important update. What's coming next? Number 6, went up 10 hours ago, 161 people viewing. Planes falling out of the sky. On the Fringe 2025. Number 5 went up 4 hours ago, 163 people viewing. Mike King dropping never-before-heard US military movement intel. Number 4 went up 8 hours ago, 194 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump orders military airstrikes now. What's coming next? Number 3 went up 10 hours ago, 210 people viewing. Peter Doocy speechless as he discovers Michelle Obama's dirty secret. Which one, I ask? Number 2 went up 3 hours ago, 307 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. Activated military sting operation and quantum financial. And then the headline runs out. And number 1 went up 20 hours ago, 354 people viewing. Michael Jaco alert. Military preparation for major global event. Okay, that concludes today's I'm Talking to You show, episode 179, originally recorded on Monday, February the 3rd, 2025, entitled The 66th Anniversary of the Day the Music Died. This show will be back with you again on Wednesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Tuesday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now.